All of you, I'm so thankful to be here with you tonight to worship our God and to study from His Word, and I'm really thankful that you chose to be here tonight. You came out in the rain, and that means a lot. It means you have a real desire to know God, to serve God, to worship Him, and so I'm just thankful that we can be together tonight. It's really hard for me to ever sing the song Exalted before I get up to preach and not just want to change my lesson and start preaching about our Lord Jesus. It's such a powerful song about God's plan and about how He fulfilled it and all of those things. And what a great follow-up song to sing Lord Reign in Me, because we see the Exalted One, because we see He's the King, the Son of God, and it makes us want to claim Him as our King. And so that's what we're doing tonight. And even though we're not directly talking about Jesus and who He is and what He does, it's threaded through all that we do. And even as we're talking about the family, one of the main ideas that we tried to suggest last night is that there's so much brokenness in families across our land, across the world. And we wonder, is there any hope? And maybe you're asking that about your family. And the point of the lesson last night was, there's hope for our families in Jesus. When we not only claim Him as King of our lives, but when we start living with Jesus in us and we start serving our spouses and our children and our parents the way that Jesus served us, then there's hope for our families and there's hope for yours. But again, so we're talking about the family this weekend. And if you hear, you know, there's going to be a gospel meeting about the family, or maybe Randy says, I'm going to preach a series about the family, might start thinking, well, what is he going to preach about? You know, if you're going to preach about the family, you got to talk about marriage. And in all that's involved in that, you've got to talk about parenting. Maybe you might even hear a lesson about what to look for in someone that you're going to marry. But you know what I rarely hear lessons about? Grandparents. I rarely hear lessons about grandparents. And I would imagine if I went up to each of you that there probably would not be anyone in this room who wouldn't say, my grandparents have had a profound effect on my life. And that's true whether they're Christians or not. But even more so if they're Christians, grandparents are important. And they mean a lot to us. And they have an influence in our lives and a great impact upon our families. And so I think it's important that we talk about what God has to say to grandparents. And as I started thinking about that and looking in God's Word, there's quite a bit that the Bible has to say to grandparents. And just like we looked at passages last night, like Philippians chapter 2 or Romans chapter 8, that aren't family passages, that aren't directly talking about those subjects, there's so much across the spectrum of God's Word that we can apply in our family relationships. And that's certainly true of grandparents as well. If you're here tonight, if you're willing, and by no means have to, but I'm just interested, if you're here tonight and you're willing to raise your hand if you are a grandparent. Okay. We've got several grandparents here. And as Jason said last night, those of us that are parents now, we hope one day that we get to fulfill that role, play that role of grandparents. We want to finally be the ones that get to send them back home and we don't have to keep them. All right. There's more to being a grandparent than that, isn't there? That's the joke that you talk about, but that's really what I want to talk to you about tonight, is that there's so much more to who you are as a grandmother and a grandfather. But I want us to begin tonight in Colossians chapter 3. And again, here's one of these passages that is not directly talking about family relationships or grandparents specifically, but it has to do with being a grandparent. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You know, we apply this in so many ways. And you think about the language that Paul uses here. Whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord. That covers pretty much everything, doesn't it? When we claim Christ as our King, when we become Christians, this is what we're committing to. That our lives are going to be governed by our relationship to Jesus Christ. That He is our everything, and we want that to be reflected in everything that we say and do and think. And so this verse very much has to do with the role of grandparents. Have you ever thought about that? That whatever you do in your role as a grandfather, whatever you do in your role as a grandmother, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And of course, we talk about what does that mean? That doesn't just mean, you know, we invoke Jesus' name and that makes it in His name. It means we're doing it according to His will. We're doing it under His authority. And so that if we're going to do something in the name of the Lord, that means whatever I'm doing, whether it's being a grandparent, whether it's being a father, whether it's being working at my job, whatever it is I'm doing, I'm committing to do it by the authority of Jesus. How would Jesus want me to do this in my life? And I don't think, and it's not just grandparents, but I think we don't think this way often enough about the way that we do things. I'm getting off in a little bit of a side tangent. I think maybe it's some of that Exalted and Reign in Me song that we sang that's getting me to think about this. But if I asked you to summarize the teaching of Jesus in one word or maybe one phrase, you know, what would that be? I think a lot of people would probably say love first. Jesus talked about love. And love was important to Him. Other people might say grace. Jesus talked about grace and mercy and forgiveness. And it's important to Him. But you know what the New Testament says, summarizes His teaching? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came to let us know He's the King. And the King came to die for us. And there's love in that. And there's grace in that. And forgiveness in that. But when we come to Him, when we become Christians, we're claiming Him as our King. And that's how we have to think about the rest of our lives and all the different roles that we play. And so whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grandmothers, grandfathers, this verse is speaking to you. It's speaking to your role as grandparents. So that's the idea. That's the thought behind the things we're going to talk about the rest of the night. What does the Lord say about who you should be and what you should be doing as a grandparent? Well, I want you to think about this passage in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Grandchildren are the crown of old men, and the glory of sons is their fathers." Children's children is literally what it says. Grandchildren are the crown of old men. It's a beautiful description. And that's the way I hear a lot of grandparents talk about their grandchildren and how special they are to them. But I just want you to think about what God is saying about you as a grandparent and about how you should view your grandchildren, how you should think about them. It's a crown. It's something beautiful. It's something precious. Normally, when you think of a crown, you think of something made out of a precious metal. Often, it's got something that involves precious jewels embedded into the crown. The point is, it's valuable. It's beautiful. It's precious to you. And that's how you should think about it. And this passage had probably even deeper meaning when it was originally written. You know, we've got great health care today, and people are living well beyond the time that they would live back in the day that this was written. You know, you didn't know if you were even going to have children, much less whether you were going to have grandchildren, and even less, even if your kids did have kids, are you going to live long enough to see those kids? And so what if you did get to live to see your grandchildren? It's a crown. It's a treasure. What a blessing from God to be able to see your children's children. Maybe we forget about that with the length of time that we live and how so many people do get to enjoy the blessing of grandchildren. But I think that's part of the point of this verse. is it's a crown, it's a gift from God to be able to have grandchildren. Well, if grandchildren are a blessing or a gift from God, then how should you think about them? How should that change the way that you look at them? What do you do with something that you treasure? What do you do with something that's a gift to you? Other passages talk about how children are a gift. Well, if it's a gift to the parents, it's certainly a gift to the grandparents as well. It's a blessing from God. What do you do when someone gives you a gift? Well, that's nice. That's not what you do with a gift. You take it and you treasure it, and it's something important because someone thought enough to give you something special. And even more so, shouldn't we think about that as something that's a gift from God? Like children and grandchildren. What do? You take it. You use it. Maybe if it's something very precious like we're talking about, you put it in a special place. You take care of it. If grandchildren are a blessing from the Lord, what should you be doing? Well, I'd suggest that one thing that tells us about grandchildren is you should be building a relationship with them. If they're special to you, if you treasure them, well, the way that you show that is by building a relationship with them, by spending time with them. Maybe you say, well, of course I try to do that. Yeah, well, that's just natural that you want to spend time with your grandchildren. That's not true. That's not true in some families. It's not even true in some families that parents really love their children. They're just, they're there. And they're part of what they have to do every day. But they don't view their children that way. And sometimes grandparents don't view their grandchildren as a gift from God and spend time with their grandchildren and build a relationship with them. If grandchildren are the crown of old men, then you need to view your grandchildren as something precious from God. Treasure your grandchildren as a gift. Well, as you build this relationship with your grandchildren, I suggest you need to let them hear you praise God. Let them hear you praise God. Again, all of us would say that our grandparents have had an influence on us, that they're important to us. Well, if that's true, if that's how we feel about our grandparents, then wouldn't you, as a grandparent, want them to know how important the Lord is to you, what the Lord has done in your life? Turn with me to Psalm 145. Psalm 145 in verse 1. Listen to what David says. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Think about what he says. As he's lifting up, he's starting to think about God. He's writing this hymn here. And he's praising God, saying, I'm going to lift up your name. I'm going to thank you for all the things that you've done. You're so highly to be praised. And as I'm praising you, that reminds me, one generation is going to praise you to another. I need to be telling the younger generation what I think about you and how much I praise you and all the wonderful things that you've done. And so, grandparents, I want to ask you, do your grandchildren know how thankful you are to God? Do they hear you giving thanks to God for the things that have happened in your life, for the blessings that he's given you in your life? Here's another question I'd like to ask you. Do they know how God has worked in your life? I don't know what it is, but sometimes I almost feel as if Christians are hesitant to talk about what God has done in their lives and to praise him for the things that he's done in their lives. And we need to be doing that. We need to be letting others hear the different ways that God has been working in our lives and giving him praise for the way that he's blessed us. And grandparents, your grandchildren need to hear that from you. And if we go on reading this psalm, it tells us some things that I think people need to hear us praise God for. Verse 5. On the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. Again, he says, your godly ones shall bless you. This is what your people do. We praise you. We lift your name up on high. We talk about all the wonderful things that you've done. And so think about some of the things that he says here in these verses. Back up in verse 5, the splendor of your majesty. Do your grandchildren hear you talk about God that way? That you think he's majestic? That you think he's splendid in who he is, in his character? Do they hear you shout joyfully? And think about joyfully. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But do they hear you shout joyfully of God's righteousness, of his justice? He says, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. Our children and our grandchildren need to hear us talk about the mercy and the grace of the Lord. They need to understand that. They need to come to know what is repeated. And this is really an echo of what we find way back in Exodus chapter 34, when Moses asked to see God, and he hid Moses there in the rock, and God said, oh, my glory will pass by you. And as God passed by Moses, he proclaimed his name, and he says, I am the Lord God, gracious and merciful, abundant in loving kindness, slow to anger, I forgive sins, and on he describes some of the core of his character. Those are the kinds of things that our children and grandchildren need to hear us talking about God. And not just when we're in the four walls of a church building, but it needs to be on our lips on a daily basis, that God is a regular part of our speech and praising God is a regular part of our lives. Maybe as you're listening to this, and as you're thinking about that, maybe you're thinking, well, you know, my grandchildren aren't Christians. And, you know, I could praise God in front of them, but they're not going to care. It's going to go in one ear and out the other. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And maybe that's just one of Satan's devices to get us to not do what we're talking about praising God in front of our children and grandchildren. How many of you can recall something that maybe you weren't directly paying attention to your grandmother or grandfather, but it's just something that they said, and they said it often enough that now, maybe years later, you can say, I remember. Grandpa used to always say whatever it is. Grandma used to always say this. Well, even if you don't think your grandchildren are listening, even if you don't think they care, I promise you, if praising God is a regular part of the way that you talk, and they see that when you're around you, they're going to remember. They're going to remember that, and that's going to impact them. And that might just be the thing that later on, when they're facing a dark time in their life, they say, I remember. I remember Grandma used to talk about the Lord. And that made a huge difference in her life. Maybe I should seek the Lord. Maybe I should seek the one that she used to always talk about was so gracious and forgiving. Or the one she used to always talk about that every time she started getting on the wrong path, he would point her right back where she needed to go. They're listening. They'll remember. Let your grandchildren hear you praise God and do it often. Let them see your faith. Not just hear about you talk about God. Let them see your faith in the way that you live, in the things that you do, in the things that they see are important to you in your lives. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul's writing this second letter to Timothy, and what we find out when we get to chapter 4 is that Paul knows his time is coming to an end. He knows, he tells Timothy in chapter 4, come to me quickly. In fact, really try hard to get here before winter. He says, because my time's up. I'm about to be poured out. And what do you often hear about people when they get to the end of their lives? They start reflecting. They start thinking about people very deeply. And I think we see that here at the beginning of 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 5, as he's thinking about Timothy and talking about him, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure that it is in you as well. Timothy was obviously very special to Paul. And as he thought about his son in the faith, he could not think about him without also thinking about his grandmother and mother. Because Paul recognized that Timothy would never have been who he was if it wasn't for their influence. I want you to think about that for a moment. We'll mention this again in a little bit. Often we talk about the influence of men, and especially when we talk about the church, because as far as public leadership, as far as elders, as far as preachers is concerned, the Bible says that that role falls to males, to men within the church. So we think, well, they're the ones, men are the ones that really have the spiritual influence. And they do have a strong spiritual influence. But think about this. Timothy would have never been who he was as a Christian if it wasn't for his grandmother and his mother. That tells me that the role of a grandmother is pretty important. And you can have a huge impact on your grandchildren and those that they influence if they see your faith. So Paul could see that. He could see Timothy's faith reflected his grandmother's faith. But turn with me to Psalm 90. Psalm 90 and verse 12. This is a psalm that was written by Moses. And as Moses talked to the Lord, and he wrote this hymn in Psalm 90 and verse 12, he says to the Lord, so teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So as Moses thought about his life and he thought about growing older, he says, Lord, teach us to number our days. If you're here tonight and you're a grandparent, it is likely that you are closer to the end of your days than the rest of us. That's not always true. It could be that someone here, maybe the youngest here, could see the end of their life first. We don't know. And that's why it's always important that we're seeking the Lord every day, no matter who we are, no matter how old we are. But the way life works in general, if you're older, if you're a grandparent, you're likely closer to the end of your life. Are you numbering your days? Are you asking the Lord, teach me to number my days? Teach me to use the time that you've given me with wisdom. That's what Moses says. We all need to be doing. Teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Are you using your days wisely? Are you influencing your loved ones for good? I preached in Coleman before I came to Birmingham. And one of our members there became diagnosed with cancer. And it wasn't clear how long she had. But as soon as she was diagnosed with cancer and she knew it was bad, she started making the use of her time. And I would challenge you, don't wait until the diagnosis, because you may not even get the diagnosis. She got the diagnosis, and I think it was about 3 weeks later or so that she ended up dying. But she started calling people in. Hey, I want you to come visit me. They didn't know what they were in for when they got there. But they were getting the gospel when they got there. They were getting their grandmother, their aunt, their mother talking to them about the Lord and their need to repent of their sins and to follow the Lord. And that just really had an impact on me. It was serious to her. And she used, she was hurting, she was tired, but she used all her energy to the end to talk to people about the Lord. What about you? Are you using your days wisely? Are you using the time that you have to influence your loved ones for good, to know the Lord? Skip down to Psalm 90 and verse 14. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. I love that verse. Satisfy us with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Let me ask you, if I was to ask your grandchildren, tell me, how would you characterize your grandfather? How would you describe your grandmother? Would they characterize you as always negative? As always complaining? Or would they say, if I had to say one thing about my grandmother or grandfather, it would be that they love the Lord. They're just always talking about God. Sometimes I get tired of it, how much they're talking about the Lord. And they just can't seem to talk about the Lord without a smile on their face. Listen again to what he says. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. All our days. We're going to experience pain. There's going to be evil things going on in the world, like our brother prayed about earlier in the service tonight. But if you're a follower of the Lord, if you find yourself, if you're in relationship with God, you can have joy in the midst of all of this. You can sing for joy all your days. I want you to think about whichever way they characterized you as negative, complaining, or as somebody who lives in the joy of the Lord, how would either of those attitudes affect your grandchildren? What if your grandchildren get to a point in their lives and they're facing a hard situation and they're trying to decide if they're going to continue living as a Christian, they're going to be faithful to the Lord or not? And again, grandparents have a huge impact on us, and they think, you know what? Grandma and Grandpa, they served the Lord. They went to church all their lives. But, all I heard was, this is bad. The world is bad. I wish things could have been this way. I wish things would have turned around this way. Nothing ever seems to go the way that I want it to go. And all I heard was complaining. I'm not sure it's worth it to keep serving the Lord. It didn't seem to be worth it to them. It didn't seem to bring any happiness or joy to their lives. Or what if they say, you know what? I remember Grandma and Grandpa. Didn't matter. Didn't matter when they didn't have much money. It didn't matter when they got sick. It didn't matter what happened in their lives. They always found reason to be joyful in the Lord. I'm going to stick with the Lord. It made a difference for them. I think it can make a difference for me. Whether our attitude is joy in the Lord or not, it's going to influence them. It's going to make an impact on them. It's going to make a difference whether they think living for the Lord is worth it. Is that what we're showing them with our faith, with the way that we live, with the attitude that we have? Turn over with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. What does it mean if you're going to show your grandchildren your faith? If you're going to let them see your faith? I think this passage teaches us some wonderful things. He's talking about the righteous one, the one who follows the Lord. It reminds me of way back in Psalm 1, where it says that the one who follows the Lord, the godly man, he's like a tree planted by the waters. And he doesn't, his leaves don't wither, but he's strong and mighty, and he's always able to bear fruit in its season. And listen to how it describes it here again in Psalm 92. The righteous man, he's a tree that grows, he's planted in the house of the Lord, he flourishes, and he still yields fruit in old age. If we're going to show our children and our grandchildren our faith, then that means we have to be bearing fruit. We can't just talk the talk. We've got to walk the walk. And there has to be evidence of that in our lives. Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? It reminds me of John chapter 15 when our Lord started talking about to his disciples. He said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And he says, if you're connected to me, if you're part of me, then you will bear fruit. But he says, if you're not bearing fruit, you're going to be broken off and thrown into the fire. That's what it means to have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, that we're bearing fruit. And the psalm says we bear fruit even in our old age. You know, retirement is a relatively new thing in the world. When the Psalms was written, when the Scriptures were written, there really wasn't much of retirement in their culture. But I would say a lot of our culture is pretty well consumed with the idea of retirement. I'm going to put my time in, and as soon as I think I've got enough, I'm going to clock out, and I'm not going back, and I can do whatever I want. You know, retirement's great. I love that people can work hard, they can save money, and then they can be able to step out of the workplace and enjoy life and enjoy some things that they couldn't when they were working full time. But unfortunately, this same kind of attitude about retirement has passed out of the workplace and into people's concept of the church and into their relationship with God. And so if I'm retiring from work, that not only means I don't have to go back to work, I'll go to church. But you know, I'm retired, so now other people can do those things. Other people can serve in the worship service. Other people can go out and be part of our evangelism efforts. Other people can, and whatever else we say. But this passage says that the person, the godly person, the righteous man, is going to still yield fruit in old age. We're still serving the Lord. We're still working for the Lord all our days. And I would say if we truly love the Lord and we truly have faith, we wouldn't want it any other way. That we love serving the Lord and we love bearing fruit as He works through us. Your grandchildren need to see you bearing fruit for the Lord in your life. And notice what He said in that final verse, Psalm 92 and verse 15. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. I think a lot of people when they get to retirement and they get on up in age, they start to decline. And one reason I think many people do is because they don't have God as their rock. I have seen some people, and you know, it's not that they were the picture perfect of health, but they got up in their older age and they had the problems that go along with older age, maybe even added problems, but they were still on fire for the Lord. They had more energy than anybody I've ever seen because the Lord was their rock. And you could see it. You could hear it in the way that they talked. You could see it in the way that they lived. And whatever they could do, they were going to do it. And you know what? Those same people, if I knew their children and grandchildren, it was obvious. It was obvious that they impacted them, that God was their rock, and they passed that on to their grandchildren. Let your grandchildren see your faith. Well, the final point I want to suggest to you tonight is that grandparents, you also have a responsibility to teach your grandchildren God's word. Now, it's not your primary responsibility. The scriptures are clear, Ephesians 6, other passages, that is primarily it is the father and the mother who have the responsibility to teach the children God's word. It's not the grandparents' primary responsibility. It is not the Bible class teachers, the primary responsibility. Those are wonderful supplements that the Lord blesses us with, but it's the parents' primary responsibility. But grandparents, you have a role in teaching them God's word as well. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. And just a little bit of a reminder, the book of Deuteronomy is the book just before, after the children of Israel have spent their 40 years in the wilderness, and Moses is giving his last speeches before he dies, and Israel's going to enter into the land. Here's what you need to know. Here's how you serve God faithfully when you get in the land. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9. Only give heed to yourself. Keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Make them known. You know it. You build a relationship with God. You make God your rock. You know His word. And then you make it known to your sons. But He also says, grandparents, make it known to your grandsons, to your grandchildren. So grandparents have a role to play in teaching God's word to their grandchildren. Let me ask you, we probably all have memories. You know, used to go to grandma and grandpa's house, and here's what we did. Every time, I remember one thing we always used to do when I would go to my mother's parents. They had an ice cream shop about a mile and a half, 2 miles from their house. And right next door to the ice cream shop was a Mr. Peanut store. And so I loved, obviously, to go to the ice cream shop. But for some reason, I really loved that little Mr. Peanut guy that stood outside of the store. And that's a vivid memory, something we used to do. And I'm sure you have those kind of memories about your grandparents. What do your grandchildren remember about you? Not long ago, we were going to my wife's grandparents' house, so my children's great-grandparents, and our oldest daughter said in the car on the way there, she said, I'm so glad we're going to Gigi and Grandpa's. They have the greatest backyard in the world. And they do. They've got in their backyard, they've got all these rocks in the yard, and she's planted flower beds in the middle of the rocks, and so they love to get out there and climb. So she's got this memory. When we go to Gigi and great-grandpa's house, we get to play in their awesome backyard. And so those are wonderful, great memories for children and grandchildren to have. Would your grandchildren remember that whenever we went to grandma and grandpa's house, we were going to at least spend 5 minutes in God's word? That every time we went there, grandma would always pull out the Bible and we were going to read something and talk about it for a minute. What kind of an impact would that have on your grandchildren if that's one of the vivid memories that they have of going to your house? That, you know, when we went to grandma and grandpa's house, one thing we're going to do is we're going to pray together. Wow, what an impact that could have on them as they think back on their time with you. Teach them God's word. Let that be a memory that they have of you. Let them connect that with you as grandma and grandpa, and that become an important part of their lives. So open up the Bible. Read God's word. But not just reading the Bible, but you have a role to play in teaching them application. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house. Do you see a thread here in Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 6? Both of the passages emphasize, first, You know God. You have a relationship with God. And then you go and teach your children. We will never be successful at leading our children to know the Lord and be faithful to the Lord if we haven't first established a relationship with Him. If we haven't first dug ourselves into the Scriptures and know God's Word. And so that's what we have to do first. But then it says we teach them. But listen to how He describes it here. As you walk by the way, as you sit down, as you lie down, when you rise up. And I really doubt that what this passage means is that as you're walking down from the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, you pull out that massive scroll, and as you're walking along, you start reading it together. I doubt that's what He's talking about. But I imagine what He's saying is, you know, you talk about God's Word, you read God's Word when you come to the temple or when you worship on the Sabbath day. Well, as you're walking by the way, and this happens, you know, this is like what we were just reading from the prophet Micah. This is like what we were just reading from Isaiah or from Genesis. Guide them in application. Help them to tie God's Word to everyday life. It's not just something we do. I'm talking as an Israelite here. It's not just something we do on the Sabbath day. It's not just something we do on the feast days. This is our relationship with God is every day. And as a grandparent, you can show your grandchildren that this is our life, our relationship with God. And so as we walk by the way, as you rise up, when you sit down and pour cereal at the breakfast table, find some way to tie God's Word into it so that they can see that God is a part of everything that you do. And that reminds me of Titus chapter 2, where Paul said to Titus, he said, you need to teach the older men and the older women to be examples to the younger men and the younger women, and to teach them. Teach the younger women to love their husbands, to work at home, and so on. Teach the younger men, show them to be sober, to live this way. And so Paul said that that's what older women and older men are supposed to do. That's God's plan for older men and older women. And maybe that's one of the major ways you can bear fruit, is as you're teaching the people in the congregation, but of course in your family, God's Word, and guiding them in how to apply it. Well, look with me in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 and 15, and we're going to bring the lesson to a close. We talked earlier about 2 Timothy chapter 1 and how Paul remembered the faith of Timothy's grandmother and mother, and he now saw it in Timothy's life. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in verse 14, he says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Partially, how Timothy's grandmother influenced him. Paul says, they taught you the Scriptures. They taught you the sacred writings. And that teaching you got as a child from your mother and grandmother, that'll guide you through every situation you face. He just got done describing. If you go back up to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the first several verses, he's describing a situation, realize this, in the last days, difficult times will come. And he talks about how people are going to be lovers of themselves and haters of God. And they're going to be immoral. And they're going to be doing all of these types of things. And you read that and you think, wow, he's describing 2018. This is a scary thought. But grandparents, you need to realize this. Parents, we need to realize this. There are scary days ahead for our children. There are scary days ahead. But if you follow God's plan, if you fulfill the role that He has for you, think about the power, think about the impact that you could have, that even in this dark situation, your influence will guide them through because you brought them to God and to God's Word again and again. And Paul says, Timothy, your upbringing can guide you right through this dark time that you're going to face. And again, think about the effect that Timothy's grandmother ultimately had through him in his preaching of the gospel. Again, he would not have been the preacher he was if it wasn't for Lois's work when he was a young child, teaching him the Word of God. And you might even say that partially the reason we're all in this room tonight because of Timothy's work, as he preached the gospel, and as those people taught other people, and those people taught other people, and they traveled, and finally the gospel comes down through the ages and across the seas to us. And maybe in some way we can trace it back to a grandmother with a little boy teaching him God's word. That is the power of God in our lives, and in you as a grandmother and a grandfather. May grandparents see the gift that God has given them and use it to His glory. Well, this hasn't been a lesson focusing on Jesus and on His work so much. But like we sang in the song earlier, Jesus is the exalted King, the Son of God. He came to this earth because we sinned. We turned against our holy God, and it cut us off from Him. And if we die cut off from the Lord, we're cut off from Him and from everything that is good forever. But God didn't want that. God loved us so much, the Bible says, that He sent His only Son, that whoever should believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if you're here tonight and you haven't repented of your sins, if you haven't been baptized into Jesus Christ, you can do that tonight, and the Bible promises you that through the blood of Jesus, you will be forgiven of all of your sins and be reconciled to Him and part of the family of God. There's no reason you have to leave here tonight with the guilt of sin on your heart. There's no reason you have to leave here tonight not part of the family of God. And if we can help you do that, we want to do that right now as we sing this song to encourage you. Please come. Thank you.